Earlier this summer, I had the opportunity to talk with you about the healing power of forgiveness. And I've had some requests for part two of that sermon. And as I've been in prayer, the Lord has continued to lead me in that direction for today. And so today we'll look at anger, disappointment, resentment, and bitterness, and how we deal with those feelings. And I'm aware that I can really only begin to scratch the surface of this very, very big topic in such a short amount of time as one sermon. But if this strikes a chord with you, I would like to invite you to come and join us for the Prayer and Healing Sunday Morning Discipleship class, where we will be looking particularly at these topics in a class on freedom, forgiveness, and wholeness, also known as How to Get a Better Night's Sleep. That'll be starting with our new term 2 weeks from today on September 7th. But now I'd invite you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 to 15. Is it up there? Yeah? Can we have Hebrews? Okay. And now I would invite you to join me in reading together. Make every effort. Oh, I don't have the same translation as you. Would you read with me, since I apparently can't read? Let's go. Help me, please. Pursue peace with everyone and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and through it many become defiled. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My house is on a third of an acre lot, and at the back of the property, there's a small garage. I use it to store a few things, but I don't park my car in there because it would make for a really long drive down the driveway to get to the street. And so anyway, I don't really pay much attention to this little garage in the back. But one morning earlier this summer, I looked out the kitchen window and realized that this garage was covered with vines. I mean, covered, like up to the roof. And I thought, what happened? Is it just that we had this extra rainy spring, or has it really been that long since I looked back and was paying attention? But there the vines were, all the way to the roof of the garage. And then when I went out there to start tearing them down, there's a place on the backside of the garage where there was like a little gap in the window, and one of the vines had actually like grown in through the window, back behind on the inside of the garage, and then back outside. And I was like, oh my gosh, my whole garage is like entangled, really. Like, what a mess. How did this happen, I asked. It was a fight, as you can imagine, to get rid of them, and it certainly would have been better if I had addressed it sooner. Negative emotions in our lives can be like that if we aren't paying attention. If we let things go too long before addressing them, the next thing we know, the root of bitterness under the surface has grown into a vine that will choke the life out of us. You'll see a visual demonstration of this danger in the picture of this vine that is choking the tree. You know, if it's left to grow unchecked, eventually the tree will die. Sometimes we hold on to our resentments because we feel justified in having them, because remembering our hurt makes us feel superior, or because we like to keep score or nurse a grudge. But doing this will choke the life out of us, just like that vine will choke the life out of a tree. Anger and resentment and harboring unforgiveness poisons our lives and the lives of those around us. It affects our health, our mental well-being, our heart, our relationship with others, our spiritual life. Resentment and bitterness block the work of God and keep the fruit of the Spirit from growing in us. They rob our joy and sadden our spirit. And you know, such strangled existence can also be passed from one generation to the next. So if we don't deal with these feelings, if we don't deal with this mess, it may affect those we love into the future. Bitterness certainly affects our witness. Ruth Bell Graham once said that a bitter, sour Christian is one of Satan's greatest trophies. Bitterness is toxic. Here's an extreme example, but I bet we've all witnessed similar situations. There was once a pastor who was called to the bedside of a dying man. He was a man who nobody liked. He was hard, bitter, and sullen. He lived in a tumble-down shack on the edge of town, and when he went into town, he made it clear that he didn't want to speak to anyone, and he didn't want anyone to speak to him. Even the children ran from him. People wondered what had made him so bitter and mean. Some thought he had a guilty secret. Others were sure that he'd committed some terrible crime and that he was a fugitive from justice. But they were all wrong. The simple truth was, when he was a young man, a friend had done him a grievous wrong. And he was so angry about it that he said, "I'll remember it until my dying day." And he did. The man said to the pastor who sat at his bedside, "I've gone over it every morning. I've thought about it every night. I've cursed that man 100 times a day. Gasping for breath, he continued, "I see now that my bitterness has eaten out my soul. My hate has hurt nobody but myself, but God knows that it has turned my life into hell." And thus the vine choked the life out of him. Which is why the author of the letter to the Hebrews instructs the church to make sure that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. He tells them not to miss the grace of God, because it is only by God's grace that we can live in proper relationship with one another and with God. We can't do it without him. If anger, resentment, and bitterness bring poison to our lives, forgiveness is the antidote. Forgiveness is the cure. Ephesians 4:31 through 32 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you." Just as in Christ God forgave you. That makes more sense. Forgiveness is the cure. As we discussed in June, forgiveness is a choice that we make, and it involves several steps. First, we ask for God's grace, for we cannot do this without God's help. Second, we confess our faults, not just the sin of unforgiveness, but the other sins in our life as well. This helps to remind us that we are also sinners in need of God's grace, just like the one who's wronged us. We remember our posture before God. Third, we pray for those who've hurt us. This begins to change our heart. At first, these prayers will be offered only out of duty, but eventually the feelings will follow. The feelings of forgiveness follow the action of forgiveness. Fourth, we pray for and seek reconciliation, recognizing that forgiving others does not mean we have to allow inappropriate behavior to continue or that we continue to put ourselves in harm's way. But we pray for and seek reconciliation. And sometimes that reconciliation can only be in our own heart, such as in the case when the person is no longer living. Finally, we recognize that forgiveness is a journey and a process, and that we'll likely have to return to these steps often, particularly that very first step, asking God's help in forgiveness. Forgiveness starts and ends with God. It involves recognizing the forgiveness we have been given in Jesus Christ and relying on God's power and strength. We pray and we ask for God's help. We need God to forgive. But what do we do when God is the one we're angry with? God does not sin, and we do not need to forgive God, but we all have times when we may experience anger or disappointment with God. What do we do then? What do we do when the very thing that is choking out our life is unresolved feelings toward God? As I was researching this sermon, I was surprised by how many resources and teachers would tell you that being angry with God is not okay. I would tell you that it is okay. And it's what we do with those feelings that makes all the difference. So I'm going to give you some steps that can be like pruning clippers that will help take down that strangling vine. And we need these clippers. The first thing we must do when we're angry or disappointed with God is stay in relationship. Stay in relationship. God wants us to keep on talking to Him. God is big enough to handle all of our emotions and all of our anger. Anger with God can lead us in one of two directions. Either we'll try to find a way out of the disappointment and the pain of anger, and we'll stifle our emotions until we become apathetic toward God, until that relationship is shut off and closed. Or we'll use the passion of anger to engage with God even more fully, and we'll stay engaged with Him until He shows Himself to be who He is, the God of all blessing. So what will we do when our anger comes because things are not the way we want, and God hasn't done things the way we want them done? Will we allow that anger to push us away from God until we sink into apathy and we close our heart towards Him entirely? Or will we continue to engage God more and more until we end up worshiping Him as passionately as we were angry with Him? Even if you're far from having a worshipful heart, keep on praying. Keep on talking to God, even if it means yelling at the top of your lungs. Seriously, if you're mad, tell Him. Stay in relationship. I must admit that when I'm mad, I think I have a tendency to avoid God, or at least avoid really being honest with Him. Because when I get close to Him and when I really pray, I feel things even more deeply. And when I just go about life and ignore these things, I can kind of get numb to all of those feelings and experiences. But if I'm to honestly come to God, then I have to honestly go there, and I don't want to. There have been times when God has corrected me in this, and He's given me this picture of a young child who's hurt and won't let the parents see the injury. You know, because you might clean out the wound and might make it hurt more, right? But that's exactly what's needed, right? That parental attention. Or the child that's just like throwing a fit and thrashing about, and the parent has to just hold them until they calm down and know peace again. But somehow, I run away from what I need the most in those moments of such deep pain and anger and frustration, which is the presence, which is the relationship. I hope some of you can relate to that. Or at least relate to my sharing that. Maybe I hope you can't relate to that, but I believe you can. So I speak from experience when I say, stay in relationship. The second thing we must do is we must speak the truth. Speak the truth. This begins by admitting the truth of our negative feelings and the state of our heart to ourselves and being realistic about what's going on. And then, as I just mentioned, we speak honestly to God. Of course, God already knows how we feel. He knows precisely what's going on with us. None of this is news to Him. But it's important for us to communicate it. All of it. It may also be important to say it out loud. To share our anger and disappointment with another person. And this can be especially hard to do since it's really hard to admit our difficult feelings and since this is sometimes a really difficult and taboo topic. So I'm trying to make it less so. It can be a great help to share our struggles with a trusted Christian brother or sister, someone in your small group, or maybe even your small group. And in my own life, I found that as I've been able to admit such struggles and invite others with me into this journey, I find that the anger has released, that hold has greatly released when others come alongside me and are able to join me. And even just the act of speaking it out loud takes some of that hold away. And then as others come with me and join me in prayer, it does so even further. So today, if you discover things that you need to share with others, I hope you'll do that. I hope you'll find some trusted confidants you can do that with. And there will be those down front after the service who would love to pray with you. And you could come and find me. We could set up a time for more extended prayer. Whatever needs to happen, I hope you'll speak the truth. And as we admit to ourselves and to God the anger and frustration we're feeling, as we come to a deeper encounter with God, we may likely realize the places where we have had unrealistic expectations, or we've simply wanted our own way, or the places where we failed to trust. And so part of speaking the truth will likely mean honestly confessing to God, honestly confessing these things, these places where we've gotten it wrong, and the ways we've had narrow vision, and the ways we fail to trust. But we don't have to confess before we can come. It's being with him and pouring out our heart and experiencing the power of his presence that allows us to confess where we've been wrong. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. We can't get there on our own. We need God. So back to point one, stay in relationship. God is our compassionate Father who sees our hurts and knows our hearts and longs to meet us right there. In her book, An Untroubled Heart, Finding a Faith That is Stronger Than All My Fears, Mika Campbell describes what it was like after her husband's death due to a house fire. She writes, "After the funeral was over and the people were gone, I realized I was alone, a new mother and a 21-year-old widow. I was very angry God had allowed for things to turn out this way. One desperate night when the pain was more than I could stand, I cried out, 'Why, God? Why did you take him away from me? Oh, God, I need to know why.' When I was completely honest with God that night, what happened next took me by surprise. God showed up. I can only explain it like this. Just as a mother runs to her screaming child, God the Father ran to me, his child. I didn't see him with my eyes or touch him with my hands, but I knew he was with me. It comforted me. This encounter with God became a turning point in my healing. I realized God understood my frailties and feelings, and he was big enough to handle them." Mika is right. We're invited to speak the truth and tell it all to God. Finally, when you're angry or disappointed, remember the bigger picture. Being angry does not mean that you do not also deeply love and respect God. Though some people, when they experience difficult feelings, will choose to walk away from God, it does not have to be this way. When our anger is expressed as part of our life of faith, we are able to see the bigger picture. We are able to connect with the one who has been faithful to us in the past, who loves us, and who saved us by sending us his son, Jesus Christ, the sovereign king of the universe who is working out purposes beyond our understanding. We are led back to a place of trust where we can see that what was meant for evil, God can use for good, and that God is working all things together for good for those who love him. Lament and faith can be held together. The Psalms are a wonderful example of this. I love the Psalms because they show us that it is fitting to express all of our emotions to God, not just the pleasant ones, not just the nice ones, not just the good Christian feelings. In the Psalms of Lament, we see all three of these things modeled: staying in relationship, speaking the truth, and remembering the bigger picture. I chose Psalm 13 for us this morning because it was the angriest, most honest-sounding psalm I could find. Turn with me to Psalm 13. Thanks, John. Listen. "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. This is a wonderful example of a psalm of lament, which includes the three elements of protest, petition, and praise. How long? Please, God, do this, and I will praise you. Look at verses 1 and 2. See how the psalmist lays his complaint before God in protest. And notice also the language used in verse 1. The psalmist uses the name Yahweh, the Lord, the very name God gave to Moses and to Israel. In addition, in verse 3, he adds the very personal, my God. This is not an address to a foreign unknown God, but to his God. It's an address coming out of relationship. He comes to God with the confidence of being heard using the very personal name of God. In verses 1 and 2, as the psalmist cries out in protest, he does not hold back. How long, he asks, how long? He feels forgotten and as though God is hiding his face and as though the sorrow in his heart will overwhelm him and his enemies are triumphing. Have you ever felt this way? When we feel angry and deeply disappointed, this is a model for crying out to God. See how the psalmist expresses his emotions so honestly in all three elements in this psalm. The honesty and relationship continue as he lays out his request to God in verses 3 and 4. Answer me. And then in the last two verses, he comes to praise. It's not a change in his condition or a change in his situation that brings about this praise. It's a change in the psalmist. This is what happens when we encounter the living God of the universe, the one who loves us more than we can imagine. This is what happens when we continue to come before him with honesty and sincerity. We are led to see the bigger picture. We are brought to a place of trust and bow before him in worship once again. So if the vine that is choking you is unforgiveness, ask God to help you through the steps of forgiveness, to help you through the journey of forgiveness, that you might find freedom. And if the vine that is choking you is anger and resentment toward God, remember, stay in relationship. Speak the truth and ask God to help you remember the bigger picture. And bit by bit, snip, 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 the vine will be removed and you will have freedom and joy and life once again. Praise be to God.